Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring national security, power, and intelligence in the 21st century. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is General Anthony Zinni, former commander of the U.S. Central Command and author of Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom. Also joining us today from IBM is Frank Strickland. So, General, over the last decade, you just need to pick up a newspaper, and it's filled with stories of leadership failures across all sectors of society. What has happened to our leaders, and would you describe what has been called the epidemic of diseased leadership?
Yeah, I think we have a leadership crisis, and it's not just – when I began my last book, I researched to begin with what people feel about leadership. I was shocked to find that somewhere around 75 to 80% of American people think we have a crisis in leadership across the board in every element of our society. And it's not just the United States. Globally, we feel that way. I think that the conditions in the 21st century lead to that. It's a much more complex and complicated world. And so to be competent, you truly have to master not just a narrow field of capabilities, but a very broad field of capabilities. Our leaders are under much greater scrutiny than they ever have ever been before. Their world has been expanded and a spotlight thrown on it. The media, the public, the information, the knowledge is there. So you can't even make a move or a decision that isn't going to be open to criticism. And in many ways, that's good, obviously. In many ways, that really makes it difficult in terms of how leaders have to act. And just turn on a TV and see that every company has a CEO that has to be the face of the organization, has to communicate effectively, has to deal with crisis that every organization is going to handle. It's much more easy to have an organization fall into a period of crisis now. I think the demands from those we lead are greater now. They understand more what could be done because of the information technology, understanding of a better world. The demands are higher. Expectations are higher. Our workforces are much more diverse. And leading diverse workforces, leading diverse organizations has a lot of benefit, but it's much more difficult and it falls to the leader. So the stresses, the changes, the degree to which you have to be far more competent in so many different areas, understanding the speed that you have to operate in today and the environment that requires quick decisions, mastering information technology that has overwhelmed us and made the world much smaller and tighter and well-informed, all have impacted on leadership. And so there's a different kind of leader that has to come out now. And I think the old ways of leading won't be effective in this modern world.
So picking up on your book, Leading the Charge, you identify 11 core elements that a leader must have. I was interested in all 11. Could you highlight the key characteristics?
Yeah. And again, I kind of looked at leaders that were making it today, especially in fields that maybe most of the field was not successful. And I found that first of all, they understood the people they lead. Even though the diversity has grown, they managed to be able to touch every one of them. They listen well. They're approachable. They're interested in who the people are. They value the diversity. So they understand that this diversity doesn't come from just what you might think offhand, you know, ethnic, racial diversity. Gender diversity. It also comes from a much longer-lived workforce. We have many more generations in the workforce than we had before. That's the result from health and obviously the necessity out of the economic conditions, but they're able to operate and with a greater ability to touch all the people they're with. They understand themselves better. They're much more self-aware. They seek improvement. They seek coaching and mentoring. The successful leaders, they don't assume they get it. They're constantly learning. It's a thinking environment they create. They're critical thinkers. They're systems thinkers. They're creative thinkers. They make decisions based on analysis. They recognize patterns. It's recognitional decision makers. They become more instinctive based on their ability to analyze their experiences and educate themselves. They have a tremendous set of values. They understand the importance of ethics and moral behavior. And because of the scrutiny they're under, I think value-based institutions and leadership now are more successful. There's more demand for it now. They're strategic thinkers. They're visionaries. They look out beyond just the immediate future, the next quarter in business or the next year or two. They have a place they want to reach in a decade or two. They work the organization to that. They understand organization. They're willing to take risks. They'll change organizations. They adapt quicker. They streamline and flatten organizations. It's not the old, you know, tiered sort of Christmas tree block and wire diagram. They know that won't work. It's too ponderous. It's too slow. It isn't effective. It's hard to change. They appreciate technology, especially information technology. They understand that's where the future is. You have to master it, use it, keep up with how quickly it changes and improves. They understand the environment they're in. They understand that every aspect of society now has a broadened environment. They aren't what business calls tall, thin people. They don't just work in one narrow area. They constantly expand their field of knowledge, their basis for information, their understanding of the world as they become more senior and move up. They're effective communicators, both internally and externally. They can represent the organization. They can articulate who they are, what they are, what they want. And they work well in crisis and change. They can lead through crisis and they can lead through change. It's basically the effects are the same. And recognize the fact that in this day, this very difficult, complex set of times, that in this day and age, every organization will go through significant crisis or change.
Sir, you alluded earlier to leading through crises. What qualities mark leaders who successfully guide their enterprise through crises? And from your experiences, would you highlight some of those qualities or actions that have stood out?
Yeah, I think, I did some consulting work on helping understand how to lead through crisis. I've worked with some organizations that were going through crisis. You know, what's amazing is there's sort of tried and true principles to follow. I see organizations that invest a lot in understanding them either before a crisis or during, and then they violated every one of them. Recognize and understand reality. Don't be in denial. Accept it for what it is. If you try to put a rosy picture, look at what BP went through. In the beginnings, they were saying this is minor environmental damage. Get it all out right away. Don't try to. Bad news doesn't get better with age. And you can fool yourself. People want to tell you good news when there's more bad news, or they should be telling you. You have to encourage people to give you truth, face reality, get it out. Move quickly and decisively. Don't wait. Make the right moves. It's important for your people who are traumatized to be sympathetic with them, but not to commiserate. I think we saw the CEO of BP say, I want my life back. No one wants to hear that from a leader. Sure, it's tough on you. I appreciate that. You have a family, you have a life, but that's not what a leader has to sacrifice and say, I have to worry about your life. Now, your life may be the customer. It may be those that have been harmed by the action of the organization. It may be internally. And you have to recognize that. You have to be creative. In crisis, when organizations come out of it, you always find someone you never expected that stepped up and either took charge or had a brilliant idea. I always use as a case study when I talk to people, it's something that I think all of us Marines know, is the old 1950s situation at Ribbon Creek in Parris Island. And how the Marine Corps, stumbled in many ways in handling that, didn't understand the problem was greater than just a question of training and a training accident. It was beginning to question the whole socialization process of the Marine Corps. And despite all the leaders that were right up at the top, a relatively unknown leader, Wallace M. Green, popped to the top, made the right decisions, understood the problem, and led the Marine Corps through that. He was a relatively obscure brigadier, went on to become the commandant of the Marine Corps. And I think many ways that was truly highlighted who he was. You need to help your people get through this. I think you need to do a gut check on yourself. You can't compromise your standards and values on this. Don't attempt to hide anything or take a shortcut. You got to lead through your brain, not through your heart, your emotion. You've got to drive the process. Be the face of the organization. Be out front. Be the one that's seen. Take the heat if necessary. Get the whole organization committed and involved to it. And look at restructuring the organization to deal with this. Sometimes the organization and the way it's structured can handle it. You might have to create a team to really work on this, a team of quality people, and make sure it doesn't destroy you personally in the process, too. Sometimes that's hard, but you sort of have to keep that face up. You have to tell your people that there are challenges that come from this crisis, but maybe there's opportunities, too, opportunity to be better and come out of this better. I can't think of one organization I've ever been part of that didn't face a crisis at one point or another and had to get through it, and some handled it better than others.
Well, General, this is a nice segue into how does one lead across sectors, boundaries, and generations to bring people together and meet mission? But more particularly, would you elaborate on the role of the led in the discussion of successful leadership?
I think you have to engage the led. Leadership I think the false belief that leadership is a top-down process, leadership starts at the top and goes down, is a mistake. I quote in the book a friend of mine who was a very experienced diplomat, since passed away, but he once told me, you know, the chain of command or the leadership structure is like a tree full of monkeys. When you look from the top down, it's all smiling faces. You look at from the bottom up, you get a different perspective, you know. I like the idea that you create a culture of leadership, that leadership can come from the top down, bottom up, from the left to the right or the right to the left, that there's a sense that we all lead. I mean, obviously, in the process of accountability and responsibility, there is a definite path. But I think that you trust people, you delegate more, you involve them more in understanding the decisions that have to be made, you invite them to participate in the decision, participatory decision-making. They have a voice. First of all, the more voices and the greater diversity, the lead that you bring into this, I think the more views you get, the more options you get, the more understanding you get. But secondly, they feel like, you know, I've had a say in this. You know, whether they bought my advice or not, I was allowed to participate in this. Allowing people to make mistakes, trusting their leadership, subordinate leaders' leadership, I think becomes key. They feel invested in the organization, part of it, trusting. So I like it when organizations sort of identify themselves as not just the leadership from a top-down or a management level or a senior officer position, but they describe that we are a leader organization. Every leader, regardless of what position they have, every member of the organization has a leadership role, has an involvement in leadership decisions to some degree or another. Those organizations are much more healthy.
How do you balance the right mix of hard and soft power? We will ask General Anthony Zinni, author of Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.